need to happen in order for you to be blessed? What do you got to do in order to receive the most from God? What? Give me three things that you should do in order to see a change happen in your life. Come, hear, and do. Well, you're not going to be able to do unless you do what? Hear. And you can't hear until you do what? Come. Come, hear, and do. And I sat back and I said, well, Holy Ghost, that's really neat. And then I was out with Brother Paul Osteen. And do you know that some of those saints were given three things to do too, but we didn't know what they were told to do? They said in order for them to be blessed, they had to do these three things. Worship, word, and witness. Now, isn't that something? Or do you know that's practically or basically the same thing that the Holy Ghost has told us to do? When you come, you do what? Come and worship. And when you hear, what do you hear? Right? And when you do something, what are you becoming when as you do? You're witnessing. So people witness what you do. People should be able to witness what you do. You know, it's nice to witness, and people think that's verbalization, but a true witness is action and living. So they were told to worship, word, and witness. And we picked that same thing up. But we're going to make it clear in this fashion. Come, you'll be able to worship and do the word and witness if you come, hear, and do. See, it doesn't have to be power-packed, but it's nice when it is. It's just got to be this, communication. Somebody hearing from the Holy Ghost or somebody hearing from God and getting what they hear from God put over to you. So that's how we get the word. So you got to know how to grab a hold of the word and to keep the word. And then we don't stop there. We got to learn it all. We worship, that will do something for us. When we hear the word, that will do something for us. And then there's going to be fireworks when the saints start to witness. You're already witnessing. You're already witnessing. Whether you know it or not, somebody's got their eyes on you. Somebody's watching the way that you live. Somebody's listening to the words that you say. They're not listening to it when you're in the Holy Ghost, when you're jerking and a shucking and a hiring. You know, that's really nice. But that comes and goes, doesn't it? They're not listening to you when you got the Bible tucked under your arms all the time, necessarily. They're not listening to you when you're praying over the breakfast food and the dinner food or when you're trying to be religious. Those people are listening to you and in everything that you do with your life and every word that comes out of your mouth. They're listening when you talk on the telephone. You could be talking to one of your friends on the telephone and they're listening to you. They're listening to you when somebody cuts you off the side of the road. They're listening and watching. Those that abide around you are watching what God does in you. And God will confirm your witness. So I believe that this thing that God's going to give us, it's going to be a supernatural anointing over the witness of the saints. And I believe that's where the miraculous growth is going to come from. So I want to talk about one thing tonight. If we were talking worship, word, and witness. Turn to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. I'm going to use the scripture to lay a foundation for worship. Nothing's going to happen in your life until you master those things. The supernatural is not going to happen in your life. You're not going to get your breakthrough. You're not going to enter into the promised land until you master worship, word, and witness. And you won't be able to do those things until you come here and do. And it came to pass after these things. Isn't it strange? After these things is basically Abraham had gotten his miracle. He had gotten his breakthrough. He had gotten his blessing. After he got hooked up. See, Abraham had a promise from God that God fulfilled. And it came to pass after these things. After all the Lord has done. After it's all settled. After the battle's won. After you got your breakthrough. After you got your miracle. After God's brought you out of one pit. After he saved your home. After these things, God did tempt. Now, we know something about that word tempt. We know that can't be right. Right? I looked at the word tempt because there was another scripture that said that for the Lord does not tempt anyone. Didn't the Bible say that? So I had some problem here. I looked at that word and I studied that word, and guess what? Miss again in the King James Version. It could be interpreted test, and actually more accurately, that the Lord did test, and even a better word than test could be used here. A better word than test could be used here. Prove. See, God already has confidence in you. When you endure some circumstances and some situations, it's not like God's trying to tempt you to sin or tempt you to give up. That's not God. He tests you, but that test is more. He already knows you're going to pass. He knows you're going to win. He knows he's going to bring you out. He's just proving you. So God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain, which I will tell thee of. Now, that thing that the Lord has just done was giving him that son. He had that boy, right? He got his breakthrough. He got his miracle. He got the thing that he had waited on God for. He got the thing that he was living for. He got that big promise. I mean, Abraham was set and everything was okay. Anybody have a promise you're believing on God? That's all you can focus on. That's all you can think about. And that's all you want. Then after you get it, God says, now you take that thing. I want it back. How would you like that? Can I tell you something? He always wants it back. He said, now take the best thing that I gave you, thing that you believed on, and give it back. Take it to Mount Moriah. When God gives you a big blessing, you need to take it to Mount Moriah. Take your miracle. After you get it to Mount Moriah. See, many people get their miracle. Many people get their breakthrough. Many people get their deliverance. Many people get many things. And then they stop. Right there. God knocks on the door and says, hey, I want you to take that thing. Bring it on the altar. Take it to Mount Moriah. Remember the 10 lepers? And how many came back? One. Nine were nowhere to be found. Why? Refuse to take it back. And offer thee it there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and claimed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And the place that he saw afar off was Mount Moriah. God told Abraham, take your miracle, take your blessing, take the thing that I provided for you that I said I'd give you, and I want you to take it to Mount Moriah and burn it there and leave it there. Every miracle that God gives us, we must take to Mount Moriah. What is Mount Moriah? Offer. Worship. This is worship. The first time that the word worship is used in the Bible, the first time that worship pops up in the word worship, pops up in Scripture, is in context with this, with Abraham's offering of his son. So the root of all worship is what? Is what we choose to offer. See, we don't understand that worship is an offering. When we wave our hands before the Lord, you got to consider that as an offering. Everybody get a $20 bill in your hand if you got one. How would you like it if every day you just went out into the streets? I'm not talking about a church offering. How many of you just love giving your throwing your $20 bills away? But you give it away. I mean, you don't give it away, but you give up something because you want to get something back when you go to the grocery store, right? You don't love giving anything away. Well, it's the same thing about worship. Worship is in the same category as offerings. It's not a choice whether you feel good. It's an offering. You got to give it when you don't want to give it. Sometimes you don't feel like praising God. You got to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Offer up. You got to go to Mount Moriah when you don't feel like going to Mount Moriah. You got to go to Mount Moriah when it's not convenient to go to Mount Moriah. Why do you go to Mount Moriah? Because he calls you to the place of worship. Why do I dance? Why do I sing? Why do I shout? He told me to. Worship is an offering. But we got into the category to where worship becomes an entertainment for us. Whether it's entertaining or not, we still got to do it. The Bible says, come into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Watch out! There's a way that you come into God's presence. There's a way that you enter into his house. One way. Through worship and praise and thanksgiving. When are you supposed to come? Always. If you're supposed to come before him to present yourself, the Lord calls thee. And when you come, you got to come through that gate. You got to bow down. And don't you ever separate your worship experience from your offering. When you separate your worship experience, I'm talking about the concept of giving to him Godward. When we don't feel like playing the keyboard, and we do it, and we give the gift to Jesus. When we don't understand it, when we could just stand there and do nothing at all, but we wave our hand. Why? Because we're giving it to Jesus. It might not mean anything to you, but it means a whole lot to him, so we offer it. Give it to him, because he wants it. Give it to him. Give it to him with desire, with a desire in your heart. You don't understand. You got to want to do it. I'm giving this to you right now. I offer it to you. I offer it. I present it to you. So you can come to church and offer God your worship and offer God your praise. You know that means something to him? You know it means something to the Lord when he's worshiped and honored and praised? He just loves to come to church to hear his people say, I love you, Lord. That's how you touch him. He wants to see you. That's it. Take your best to Mount Moriah. So we know that the law of first mention, you ever heard the term of the law of first mention? It means the first time that something's mentioned, the context in which it's said sets the precedent of that issue. So we've learned tonight that the first time that worship, the word worship is used in Scripture, is in context with Abraham offering his son. And he said, and he took his two young men with him. Took. See, we got to get into a lifestyle. How many want the blessing of Abraham? Did you know that Abraham got his first promise? One son. See, many of you people just want a little bit from God. See, God's got much more for you. That little thing, you know, you've been in a ditch so long, you get a little, just a little bit, and you're ready to bail out where you are. Don't stop there. God can do much more than this. See, you already mentioned got your one little thing. But the Holy Ghost has been telling us for a while, I can do much more than this. Now notice that God had already fulfilled his promise to Abraham because he had that one son. He said, let me do more. Take that one miracle. Take that one promise. Take that one gift to Mount Moriah. Everything you got. And offer it there. So he took himself. Now when you come to church, now you know Mount Moriah can also be like church. Technically it's a place of worship, but it's deeper than that. You're going to think of church as something completely different. You're going to find out in the word that it is. So he took the young men with him. Don't stop with yourself.
Take your whole household. Don't let the devil rob you and cheat you. You better get an anointing, and I'll get one with you. We need to break that thing. When I go to Mount Moriah, I'm taking everything with me. Say, I'm going to get in the Holy Ghost until they all come in. You're getting there. The devil's just meant. You done brought your mama, your sister's husband. You done brought your gardener, your client. I'm not going to go to Mount Moriah by myself. I want God on everything I've got. But if I can drag this thing to Mount Moriah, something will happen. I want to get Moriah on everything I've got. I'm not just going to go into that mountain by myself. I'm going to take Chrissy. I'm going to take Raphael. I'm going to take that son that won't come in. I'm going to find that daughter no matter where she is. I'm going to bring them to Mount Moriah. And he took the young men with him and his son, Isaac. He took just about everybody he knew, everybody he had authority over. Everybody he had authority over, he took them. Didn't ask him, took him. I thank God when we see how God does things. My mom did some stuff to me. She let my sisters get away with everything. And we went to a Methodist church. We all had to go to church until they got of age. Until they turned about 13 or 14 years old, then they didn't have to go to church anymore. But I didn't get the same treatment. I got the twisted ear. And it never left me. See, I didn't have a choice. For the Bible says, train up a child in a way it should go. When it's old, it ain't going to depart. Don't let the child train you. You train the child. You set the thing. Train up a child. How long? When is it a child? If you still feeding it? You still paying the rent and they're sleeping under the roof? If they don't got the job, the car, they not paying the bills, I don't care how grown they are. It's still a child if it's under your roof. If you move back home and you under mom and papa's roof, guess what? Honey, you are still a child under that roof. Amen. You got to come under the authority of that home. One thing about my mother, she didn't get that right. My brother was about 46 years old, one of my brothers. My mama got saved, and he wasn't saved, but he was living in her house. He thought that he could bring a girlfriend home. He's a lot bigger than my mama, but he wasn't bigger than my mama's God. Didn't happen in that house. God, let me tell you something, mama and daddy, I want you to know this from the bottom of my heart. God is on your side. And whether you realize it or not, you have spiritual authority. Now, you might go through some dark days. You might go through some conflict. But don't release your spiritual authority. But they took them and the son and the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God told him. Now, one thing about this verse of Scripture in 23, before you go to Mount Moriah, find out what you pack. Then we preach the message, but people coming to church packing. What are you going to the mountain to do? What are you taking? They prepared themselves before they got there. Now, when you want to have an encounter with God and come down the way that Abraham came down, I want to come back the way Abraham came. Because there were a lot of people that stood on some mountains and did some stuff at the mountain. You remember the people that fire flew off the mountain? You got to be careful how you go to the mountain. But I want to go into the Mount Moriah and come back blessed. So how do I go to the mountain? How I go determines how I get back. And what I take determines what I bring back. When you go to Mount Moriah, you're basically sowing yourself. And what you sow, that will you also reap. So he got him, before he went to the mountain, he knew what he was going to do. Church is not a game. And the presence of God is not a game. You got to get yourself together before you go in. You got to find out, I'm on my way to church. I got to get my praise together. I got to get my testimony together. This is not a half done thing. I got to get myself together. I got business to take care of. It's worship time. He got his son together. He got all of his young men together and said, hey, it's Mount Moriah time. I've got to go and you're going with me. Imagine what would happen if people took that thing seriously. Start shutting down things a half hour early. Oh, my, I got to get myself together here. Got my notebook, got my pad, got my witness. I'm prepared to offer God my best. I know what I'm going to thank him for. What? Notice that he brought his miracle with him. How many of you come to church without your miracle? How many of you come to church without your testimony? You wonder why you can't praise God because you're so stuck in the things that went wrong. See, there are a lot of churches you can go to that ain't got half the stuff you got. Don't have 10% of the stuff you got. But they go into the house of God. I'm sure you people, you've been around. And they go into the house of God. And you can go into the house of God and they go in there and you hear the testimonies. I want to thank the Lord. But they know that miracle that God gave them. It might not be a miracle to you. But them hot dogs that those kids ate before they got to church, that was a miracle. Rice and beans that lasted the extra week was a miracle. They didn't leave their rice and beans in the pot. They brought them rice and beans to church in a confession of praise before God. They come to church ready. Don't you come to church without your miracle in your mouth. You wonder why you can't praise God. You done left your offering at home. Know what you're coming for. I remember what bill I paid that day. Thank you, Jesus. I remember what I... Come on now. You know what God did. Every day he does something for you. Why? Because every day the devil's busy. Amen. He brought you out a bunch of stuff this week. Did you bring that miracle with you? Did you bring that with you? I was sick all day yesterday. Had food poisoning. I couldn't sleep two nights ago. Up all night long, just about sick as a dog. But I'm healed and well today. Ready to praise God. Ready to worship. I brought my miracle with me. Don't come to church without your miracle. You won't have a praise. Amen. Don't just let it stop when it's over. Amen. Pack that stuff on your back and take it. Honey, you got a bad house. Thing looks good and it's furnished to the pip and to the top. God did that. When you come to church, honey, strap that house on your back and bring it every Sunday. Bring it every Wednesday, every Friday night. You can't take it with you? Oh, yes, you can. You can drag that thing to Mount Moriah. Forget what you've done. Forget everything that you've done, but never forget what God done. Never forget it. Never forget it. Never forget it. So you got to plan yourself. When you go to church, you might have to get yourself an empty suitcase and open up that suitcase and say, let me pack up some stuff. Hey, there was a bill. I didn't know how I was going to pay it on Monday. I didn't know how I was going to get this house. No. How many times do we go to Mount Moriah without our offering? Offering of testimony. Worship. We're talking about worship here. See, this is all about worship. See, things will change when we start to walk that way. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Wonder why people aren't able to overcome stuff, always stumbling on this and stumbling over that because you're complaining. Some of you are stumbling over the own words in your mouth, griping about this and griping about that and always wondering why you're falling down. Don't you know you're falling on your own words? Wonder why you got a cloudy day of rain in your big mouth. I was thinking about what Brother Maceo Smith had taught that day. He said that our confession is like perfume or cologne. Y'all remember that? He said you spray that cologne in the air, you spray it out in the open, and then you walk under it. He said that's the way. That's the same way with our confession. We speak those things, and then we just walk through it. And you wonder why you're always walking through a bunch of rough stuff. What are you spraying in the air with your mouth? But are we learning anything about worship? We haven't even got to the good step. Glory to God. So first, prepare yourself to go to Mount Moriah. And he arose and went to the place which God had told him. That's a big thing. The place which God had told him. You got to go where God tells you to go. Don't go where the music's good. Don't go where the preaching good. You got to go where the Holy Ghost tells you to go. And when the Holy Ghost tells you to do anything, you do it. And you don't do it begrudgingly. Because the Bible says, I delight to do thy will. So if God tells you to do something, you know it's his will, right? Well, if you want to be Christ-like, he said, I delight. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will. Well, it's the same thing with worship. You go where the Holy Ghost sends you to do it with some pep in your step, and you're glad about it. You're delightful about it. Don't let nobody tell you God sent me over there and I just can't take it. I don't like it. I'm there praying. No, we delight to do his will. This ain't no drudgery and treachery being Nations Church pastor. I love it. I delight doing it. It's the will of God, and I'm blessed in it. Same thing for you. So go where God tells you to go and do what he tells you to do. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. And Abraham said unto these young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice that he said, I and this lad, I and this miracle that God told me he wants back, we're coming back again. Whatever I bring to church is coming back. See, that's the thing about people. You better trust God. Abraham had faith. See, Abraham knew his God. He said, I'm going, but whatever I put in is coming right back again. That was a statement of faith. I don't know how he said that because he didn't know that. From all that I know, that was a lie. Because for all that Abraham knew, he was going to take that son up on the altar and kill that son. But he didn't know that he was actually prophesying. I guess the young boys wouldn't let him come if he said, I'm going up here and kill Isaac and I'll be back. But if I tell you I'm going to kill Isaac, y'all ain't going to let me take him up on the mountain. Sometimes people got to do that with their offering. Some people got to do that with their offering. Stingy husbands, stingy wives. And you have to do it in faith. Don't worry about it. It'll be back. Anybody been there before? We've had to do that around here. God will lead us to sow in certain areas. And they, oh, hallelujah, it'll come back. God tells you, anybody God ever told you to sow something and you knew you needed it? That BMW and Jesse driving me around in his car, it'll come back. Amen. Don't worry about it. Have that kind of faith. Now, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. We'll come back. We'll come back. There are a lot of people that get scared. My brothers and sisters had problems with what I did with my life. I sat up there with Jesus. They say, Jesus ain't going to pay your bills, dummy. They were out there doing their thing, working for this, working for that, hustling on this and hustling on that, money hungry for this. And I'm out here singing for Jesus, doing this for Jesus, doing that for Jesus. And they couldn't stand going to family reunion because all you heard, Jesus ain't going to pay your bills. You singing and clapping and we paying your bills. I said, don't worry about it. It'll come back. I might have to get up to the mountain for a little bit. You can't see people when they go in the mountain. Because they're in a cloud. See, they go up real high. You can't catch people. It looks like, well, I mean, I'm sure you can look at people's lives. Look at this one. Look at that one over there. They're up in a mountain someplace. They didn't walk up there. And you say, well, what a waste. So that's how God does things. That's how the Holy Ghost does things. He'll take you. He'll take the best of what you got and tear it up and put it in the ground where you can't see it anymore. You could be a singer or an actress or a star or something. You just think you're all that, and the Holy Ghost takes it and humbles that thing to where it don't look like you got nothing at all. Come on. You know, out in the world, it's the other way around. You got to be the best. You got to be this. You got to be that. You got to have, it's all, but with God, that stuff doesn't matter. It's by his power and by his might. His way up is down. I mean, his way up the ladder is down. Humble yourself, then you shall be exalted. And somebody say, get up, don't go down. No, don't you dare humble yourself. Don't you dare. You listen to that. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It will come back. How many got some stuff out there? Speak to yourself right now and say, I'm not worried about it. It'll come back with some of its buddies. Say, I'll come back. So don't you worry about how much time you're sowing in church. How are you punching that religious clock? You'd be in overtime now. Well, you know, overtime pay is better. It's double. Doing double time. But it's good time. And I know without a shadow, I can look at people's face confident and say, oh, you'll increase. Confident of it. And he said, it will come back. And he took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood. Now, he could have just said, what are you doing? You trying to kill me. He knew that he was laying it on top of him. They weren't walking together. He put the wood and all the stuff on the boy. Father. I mean, got a good thing going and gone, gotten that thing and started getting his hands all over it. A reputation, a gift, or a talent. And your gift starts talking to you, or your miracle starts talking to you. You got that house and have church people over to have a dinner in it, and they get something on your carpet. Father. And laid it upon the son, and the son said, he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I can tell something's about to go up here. And I know you. I know you one of those givers. You one of those worshipers, and you believe God. Mom told me about you. Mom told me you do some wild stuff. You told her to lie to this king that time. Mom then told me about you. You one of those crazy faith people. You left your father. I remember what you, Abraham and Lot. I remember all. They told me the stories. He said, where is the offering? Look at somebody say, where's the offering? Hallelujah. There's always an offering. An offering, the thing talking the most is the offering. I'm catching this, and this is so true and in my life. Often the thing talking the most is the offering. It's causing itself to identify. Your business is doing all the talking when you go to church. Offer it. Put that thing under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Come on. The thing that's pressing you the most is the thing that God wants you to worship him with. What issue is hitting you the most? Worship him with it. Intend to bring that on. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Do you know you're not going to get God's offering until you're willing to bring yours? Do you know God's offering is the offering he really wants? Do you know that? And see, people don't realize it. They wonder why we give out dollars and different things on Sunday mornings or different times when we take offerings. Why? He will give seed to the sower. You just listen to the Holy Ghost and watch what God does. God will provide a ram. God will provide a ram. In the mountain of provision. The mountain of provision. The place where God provides a ram. Notice that this is the first time the word worship is mentioned. Do you know Mount Moriah? Say that word. Do you know what they call Mount Moriah? Jehovah Jireh. Another name, when you look up Mount Moriah or the name Jehovah Jireh, it's Mount Moriah. Yes, Jehovah Jireh, a symbolic name for Mount Moriah, Jehovah Jireh. Did you know that? How many ever heard of the name Mount Moriah? Another name is Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. See, you don't know this, but the mountain that God called us to sacrifice our Isaac is Jehovah Jireh. Solomon's temple built on Mount Moriah. Ha, 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 ha. See, you don't know what God's calling you to. See, many people just saw the altar there, but they didn't see Jehovah Jireh that holding up the altar. The altar is sitting on top of the provision. Glory to God. They're just learning to get to the mountain. How do I get to the mountain? By the altar. I'm going to Mount Moriah. They didn't even know what they were going up to. They didn't even know what mountain they were standing on. You're standing on Mount Moriah. That thing that you think is so difficult. Thing you think you're about to lose everything and you don't even know that mountain you're standing in is Jehovah Jireh. My God, my provider. It's the place where God takes the one seed and turns it into many. It's a mountain you go to. He even provides the ram for you. You just got to make up your mind to go. We're learning to prosper and to worship. So what does that say? We take our worship to Mount Moriah, Jehovah Jireh. So they went both of them together. The miracle and the obedient man of faith. And they came to the place that God had told him of, Mount Moriah. And Abraham built an altar there. Isn't that neat? He went to the Mount Moriah, Jehovah Jireh, and built an altar on top of it. That was a bad dude. Why do you think they wanted to put Solomon's temple there? And he ended up being what? And God provided everything he needed? When you go to build something, build it there. Say, I'm going to build on Mount Moriah. Yeah, how many of you are building on Mount Moriah? You know how to build. You come with the right heart. How many of you are building your foundation on Mount Moriah? I'm building on Mount Moriah. See, and it has to be the place where God speaks and tells you to do it and go. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Let's underline that. God had told him of. They came to the place God had told him of. Not brother, I need it so. Not sister, I need it so. Not TV show that's just about to go off the air unless you come and meet my need. The place that God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Notice this, that Abraham took his son and bound it to the altar which was bound to Mount Moriah. Bind your miracle to the text that God provided this, that the Lord did this. Don't ever let your miracle leave the place that it came from. For God gave him his son, and God just only the only thing that God wanted was to get it back to the place where he realized that it belonged to God anyhow. He bound his son spiritually. He bound his miracle spiritually to Jehovah Jireh, God that had provided. That's how we run into trouble when we get to the point where we don't think that God did something for us. That's really what God was after. He just wanted him to bind his son to realization that God did this and he didn't do it himself. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld. So God saw that he was somebody that didn't withhold anything. And he passed the test. He said, Seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. You notice that when God saw what Abraham was doing, he saw what God was doing. How many of you are ready to see God's provision? Sow your part, and you'll see his part. Those of us that are hungry and living by faith, we need to hear this kind of stuff. I say, God saw his stuff, and allowed Abraham to see his thing, his miracle. Now, if you're just sitting up here looking at me, you're not going to get anything out of this, but I'm here to tell somebody tonight, God sees your stuff. God sees your stuff, and God's about to open your eyes spiritually that you're going to see your ram. There's a ram in the thicket somewhere for you, and God's about to manifest that ram for you and say, here's your ticket out of here. Here's your ticket to blessing. Here's the thing that I wanted to give you all along. Somebody say, open my eyes, God, that I might be able to see your provision. There's a ram on Jehovah Jireh Mount Moriah. I want to see the ram. I want to see the ram. God's got a lamb. God's got a lamb somewhere for you. What you got right now is not all there is. There's more for you. There's a supernatural thing that you couldn't get. There's something from heaven that you can't get, something you can't sow, something you can't even grab by your own hand, doesn't have to do anything with you. There is something that God desires that comes straight from him. There's a ram for you somewhere in the bushes. You got to look around in the bushes. Look for it. Look for it. I believe in rams. We need to get into that manifestation. We need to get our faith up to that level. We want to be big givers. We don't have to worry about what we make. We to be big givers. And we can believe God for rams. Seed for the sower, just not, oh, seed for the sower. I'm believing God for a ram. Freda Lindsay is a powerful woman of God, and she learned the precept and the concept of believing God for rams. So she sows about $20 million a year into mission. How? Somebody else's seed. They just entrust it to her, and she puts it where it needs to go. John Osteen gets to sow. His ministry was sowing $50 million a year into the mission field. And not all of that came from Lakewood Church. There was one church that gave them $1 million to put in the mission. Why? Seed to the sower. He found out that God had a ram someplace. It doesn't have to be your stuff. It doesn't have to be your money. You just got to be the vessel that he'll pour it through. Look for your ram! Now notice that Abraham got his multitude blessing off of the ram. The thing that didn't even come from him. See, he was about to offer what he had, but God sent it back. Said, okay, now I know you do it. You can have that back. He said, but an offering still had to be there. He said, so I'm going to send you a ram. So the return on the ram that he thought would be his son brought him the multitude blessing that we all shout about. And caught it in the thickets by the horn and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Do you hear this? In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What is it? The ram. You know what's funny? Jehovah Jireh actually means God will see, or God will see to it. And of course, we know it's Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider, God, our provider. But basically, it's God will see it. God will see it. / God will see to it. God will take care of it. God will see to it. God will see to it. God will see to it. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing, there's a revelation in that, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee. Notice that in blessing, he would be blessed, and in multiplying, he would be multiplied. In blessing, he would be blessed. That means that he's blessed. He's blessing. As he multiplies, he'll be multiplied. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. None of this would have taken place if he didn't obey the voice of God. That's why I don't play no games with people. Amen. It's all in the measure of obedience. God said it, do it, period. Amen. Period. He said it, it settles it. They used to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Actually, that's wrong. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, God said it, that settles it. Now, that was a message on worship. And we know where we take our worship. Where do we take our worship? Mount Moriah, the place where God sees it. And say, God will see it. God, don't you? I've been worshiping you. Nobody else comes to church. I'm always here. God sees it. I've held out. You know, then everybody's going to show up. Don't worry about it. God sees it. God sees every little thing you do, the things that people know about, the things that people don't know about. Every little thing you do, God sees it. Every prayer you pray, God hears it. He'll turn it for your good. God sees and he knows. He is the omniscient God. God is omniscient. Omniscient means that he knows everything. God sees and he knows and he'll return it. And God wants me to tell you tonight that he's calling you by name. He's called you to the place. He's called you to the place that he's put his name on and said, I want you to come up higher. Come up and dwell in the place of Mount Moriah, the place of provision, the place where I see everything. Come because I called you. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Don't worry about what other people say. You listen to the voice of God yourself. Let that inward voice lead you. Don't let nobody else lead you but the Holy Ghost. And obey the Holy Ghost. And I guarantee you, you take that little bit of miracle you got. And it's a big one for some of us. It is some good stuff. And you take that up to Mount Moriah. Don't you worry about it. The place that you might be scared of is your place of provision. You're walking up that thing with one little thing. You're going to come down and God's going to multiply that thing. Notice that he took that one blessing of his son, the one blessing of his son, and he said, in blessing I will bless thee. In blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. Get involved in your blessing and bless other people and watch what God does for you. Stand where you are if you receive this message tonight. Jesus, we bless your holy
name. Bless you, Jesus. You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.